enough information for detailed statistical analyses. We're going to need a counterweight for them, Vyborg said between bites of his sandwich.
For the scientists? Asked Kananga.
Yes, Eberly snapped. It's already taken care of. Morgenthau gave Holly her crafty look again.
What about this stuntman you've been seeing?
Holly blinked with surprise.
Manny Gaeta?
Yes, said Morgenthau.
He's had his arguments with the scientists, hasn't he?
He wants to go down to the surface of Titan, and they won't allow that until they...
The surface of Titan?
Eberly interrupted.
Why?
Holly explained. He does spectacular stunts and sells the VR rights to the Nets.
He's extremely popular on Earth, Morgenthau pointed out. A vid star of the first magnitude.
A stunt man, Vyborg sneered. Eberly asked, and he's in conflict with the scientists?
They're afraid he'll contaminate the life forms on Titan, said Holly. Dr. Cardenas is trying to help him.
Cardenas? Vyborg snapped. The nanotech expert?
Right.
How well do you know this stuntman? Eberly asked her.
Holly felt a pang surge through her.
We're pretty good friends, she said quickly.
I want to meet him, said Eberly.
Make it a social occasion, Holly. I want to have dinner with the two of you. Invite Cardenas also. We'll make it a foursome.
Holly tried to mask the rush of emotions she felt.
Jeep, she thought. I finally get to go out to dinner with Malcolm, but I've got to bring along the guy I've been sleeping with.
Saturn arrival minus 312 days. Of the two restaurants in the habitat, Nemo's was by far the more spectacular. Where the bistro was small and quiet, with most of its tables out on the lawn, Nemo's was plush and ambitious. The restaurant was designed to resemble the interior of a submarine, with curved bare metal walls and large round portholes that looked out on holograms of teeming undersea life. The proprietor, a former Singapore restaurateur whose outspoken atheism had gotten him into trouble, had sunk a fair share of his personal assets into the restaurant.
If I'm going to fly all the way out to Saturn, he told his assembled children, grandchildren, and more distant relatives, I might as well spend my time doing something I know about.
They were not happy to see the head of the family leave Earth and take so much of their inheritance with him. Holly felt distinctly nervous as she followed the robot headwaiter to the table for four that she had reserved. Gaeta had offered to pick her up at her apartment, but she thought it better that they meet at the restaurant. She was the first to arrive, precisely on time, at 2000 hours. The squat little robot stopped and announced,
"Your table, miss."
Holly wondered how it decided she was a miss and not a man. Did it pick up the data from her ID badge? She sat at the chair that allowed her to look across the room at the entryway. The restaurant was not even half filled.
"Would you care for a drink?" the robot asked.
Its synthesized voice was warm and deep.
"We have an excellent bar and an extensive wine list."
Holly knew that was an exaggeration at best.
"No, thanks," she said.
The robot trundled away. Eberly appeared at the entryway, and Chris Cardenas came in right behind him. She wore an actual dress, a knee-length frock of flowered material, light and summery. Holly suddenly felt shabby in her tunic and tights, despite the sea-green shawl she had knotted around her waist. She stood up as the two of them approached. Neither of them realized they were both heading to the same table at first, but Eberly caught on quickly and gallantly held Cardenas's chair for her as she sat down. As Holly introduced them to one another, she found herself hoping that Manny wouldn't come. Maybe he got tied up on something, some test or whatever. She barely paid attention to the conversation between Eberly and Cardenas. Then Gaeta appeared, wearing a form-fitting mesh shirt and denims, no badge, no decoration of any kind, except for the stud in his earlobe. He didn't need finery. Heads turned as he strode to their table well ahead of the robot headwaiter. Except for the fluttering in her stomach, the meal seemed to go easily enough. Gaeta knew Cardenas, of course, and Everly acted as their host, gracious and charming. Conversation was light at first. They talked about the recent voting and Gaeta's previous feats of daring. "Soaring through the clouds of Venus," Everly said admiringly over their appetizers. "That must have taken a great deal of courage." Gaeta grinned at him, almost shyly. "You know what they say about stunt people. More guts than brains." Everly laughed. "Still, it must take a good deal of both guts and brains." Gaeta dipped his chin in acknowledgement and turned his attention to his shrimp cocktail. By the time the entrees were served, the topic had turned to Gaeta's intention to get to the surface of Titan. "If Chris here can convince Urbane and his contamination nuts that I won't wipe out their chingado bugs," Gaeta complained. Cardenas glanced at him sharply. "Pardon my French," he mumbled. "I thought it was Spanish," said Holly. Everly skillfully brought the conversation back to Urbane and his scientists. Gaeta grumbled about their worries over contaminating Titan, while Cardenas shook her head as she talked about their fears of runaway nanobugs. "I can understand where they're coming from, of course," she said, "but you'd think I'm trying to create Frankenstein's monster, the way they're hemming me in with all kinds of safety regulations." "They're overly cautious?" Everly asked. "A bunch of little old ladies," Gaeta said. Holly asked, "Manny, have you thought any more about going through the rings?" With a shake of his head, he replied, "I haven't heard anything from that Nadia. She said she'd look into it." "I'll call her," Holly said. "Maybe she forgot." By the time dessert was being served, Everly was suggesting, "Perhaps I can help you with Dr. Urbane. I have direct access to Professor Wilmot. I can make your case for visiting Titan's surface." Then he added, turning to Cardenas, "and for easing some of the restrictions on your nanotechnology lab." "It's not the restrictions so much," Cardenas said earnestly. "I can live with them. I understand why they're scared, and I even agree with them, up to a point." "Then what is your problem?" Everly asked. "Manpower. Pure and simple," said Cardenas. "I'm all alone in the lab. I've tried to recruit assistants, but none of the younger scientific staff will come anywhere near nanotech." Glancing at Holly, Everly asked, "Hasn't the Human Resources Department been able to help?" Cardenas looked surprised at the thought. "I've asked Urbane," she said. "What I need is a couple of lab assistants, youngsters who have basic scientific training. But the scientists run in the opposite direction when I ask them for help." "I see," Everly murmured. Smiling, Cardenas said, "Back when I was on Earth, in the Stone Age, the professors ran their labs with grad students, slave labor, cheap and plentiful." Everly steepled his fingers. "We don't have many grad students among us, or even undergraduates, I'm afraid, and everyone has a job slot. That was a requirement for being accepted aboard the Habitat." "We don't have any unemployed students," Holly said. "I figured that out right away," said Cardenas. "But I thought I'd be able to talk a couple of the younger people on Urbane's staff to come over and help me." "He won't allow them to," Everly guessed. Cardenas's expression hardened. "He won't let me talk to them anymore, and he's got them frightened of even meeting with me socially. I'm being frozen out." Everly turned to Holly and placed a hand on her wrist. "Holly, we've got to do something about this." She glanced at Gaeta before replying, "If that's what you want, Malcolm." He looked back at Cardenas as he answered, "That's what I want." Dinner ended, and the four of them went out into the twilight atmosphere. Holly's heart was thumping. "What happens now?" Everly said, "Holly, why don't we go up to your office and see what we can do to help Dr. Cardenas?" She nodded. "If I knew what skills you need, Chris, I could pull up a list of possible candidates for you." Cardenas said, "I'll shoot the requirements to you as soon as I get home." Gaeta said, "I'll walk you home, Chris. It's on my way." Holly stood frozen to the spot as Gaeta and Cardenas said goodbye and started along the path that led to her quarters,